you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Welcome to She's Building Her Empire. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel, and on today's show, we have John Pollock. John doesn't just talk about entrepreneurship. He truly lives it, and I love that we have him on the show today to really dive into his expertise. He is the CEO of Financial Gravity. John has grown his business from the dining room table to a national organization of 25 employees and led his company to 700% growth in 1 year. John is also disrupting this industry standard for the better. He has created the first national tax firm specifically designed to help entrepreneurs reduce their personal tax liability. He is all over the place. You'll hear him on Fox Radio, Forbes, you name it. He's also the host of Financial Gravity Radio Show, which is a weekly show on the Dallas, Texas radio show. And he focuses on proactive tax planning and growth strategies for small business owners. As an author and speaker, John has delivered keynotes and workshops to over 500 organizations and conferences for small business owners and financial advisors. John, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm always excited to help people build their empires.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the thing. We really, truly are here doing that. And if we don't look at the maybe not so fun stuff that people sometimes don't want to look at, we can really have a rude awakening years to come when all of a sudden it's tax time or the IRS comes checking, right? So I really want to dive into some of that. But before we do, can you share a little bit of your story and how you started this? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I basically started in financial services. In fact, I lost my job. I didn't even think about building an empire. I was more concerned about putting food on the table. You know, I lost my job. I had 4 kids. I had just moved to Dallas. I knew nobody. And I knew I was good at sales, so I figured I would sell something that made a lot of money quickly. So I got into financial services because insurance products are the highest profit margin business on the planet. And if you didn't know that, that's actually something you should be aware of, because when people are selling you stuff, it's because of the huge commissions they make, I later identified a huge problem with the industry, which we might be able to get into. But so I started selling there. I built the wealth management, and then I got blindsided. Like you just mentioned, I woke up one day and I had this huge tax bill, and I'm in financial services and no one taught me the deal. I had a CPA. He didn't tell me anything. I had an attorney. He didn't tell me anything. But all of a sudden, I have this big tax bill. And I was like, well, I don't understand why someone didn't like raise their hand and say, all these professionals I'm paying didn't raise their hand and say, the way, this is coming. Mm-hmm. And the reality is what they tell you is, well, it's death and taxes. It's just there's nothing we can do about it. And as an entrepreneur, that is not an acceptable answer. There's nothing you can do about it. There's always something you do something about just about everything. You know, maybe I can't do something about my height, but I can wear platform shoes or something. But I mean, there's something you can do about everything. And I didn't accept that. So I started studying the tax code, which is not for a person like me that hates detail. Mm-hmm. I was solving a problem. I wasn't learning it to learn it. And what I found out is that there's hundreds of things that you can do, literally hundreds of things that you can do within the tax code, and nobody's showing anybody how to solve it. And so I ran across the single biggest business problem that I could have run across, which is everybody in the country thinks an entire industry solves a problem that entire industry not only is not taught how to solve, they don't know how to solve it. Very strange problem. What I'm talking about is the accounting industry. Most people listening to your show think that their accountant's going to help them with taxes, and their accountant's not trained to help them with taxes. Mm-hmm. The A in accountant is accountant. An accountant is a historian. They record data. The CPA exam does not have a single question on it with regards to tax planning. In fact, the CPA is not taught how to do tax planning. They're taught the difference between accrual and cash basis, stuff that your small business owners in the early stages of the empire building don't have access to. They don't need information on accrual versus cash. Right. They don't need to depreciate their inventory and all the stuff that the accountants taught. So it's a very interesting problem. Most of your listeners will probably think that they need to go to an accountant to help lower taxes. Accountants do not know how to help them. Big problem.
So where do you recommend we go? What do we do? And here's the thing. There are people listening, some starting out, but some very experienced going, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I don't even know that I have my act together and I have the right people on my team still. So fill us in, where do we get started?
Well, first of all, if you don't have your act together, it's not your fault. So that should help.
Yes.
It's the industry's fault. And this is one of the reasons I'm trying to solve it is that I ran into the problem myself. I ended up with a $20,000 tax bill, even though I set money. Basically, what happened was is I built out some office space. I set aside $50,000 to pay cash. I was good. You know, I follow the rules. But what I didn't know is that when I wrote that check in March, that money was in my bank account December 31st, it counts as profit. That's the way the tax code is. It's not fair. It's not good. It's very hard on businesses, but it doesn't matter. Those are the rules. So instead of saying it's not fair, I had to figure out how to solve for the rules. So the first place you're really looking is the accountant, and the accountants just don't know. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about the accounting industry is that the very type of person that's attracted to that industry is the exact opposite of you and me. We're driven, we're ambitious, we're willing to push the envelope a little bit. Rules are just rules for somebody else. We have to figure out a way to get around them legally without breaking any laws. How do I navigate the world? And that's what entrepreneurs do. They solve problems. Uber probably sat in a taxi cab and said, "This is terrible. why hasn't someone disrupted this business?"
Right.
Or a friend, you know, slept in somebody's house, a room in their house, and said, "Shoot, there's got to be a way that this person can rent this room." Mm-hmm. And then Airbnb, and that's what entrepreneurs do. We solve problems. Accountants are not that person. So the accounting industry will never solve the problem that Stacy and John has because that's not how they think. So that was the first major problem. You need to find somebody. Right now, we're it. We're the only national firm that solve this. I suspect as we get traction in the marketplace, Uber was followed by Lyft. Right. Once you get traction with an idea, someone will copy it. And frankly, I don't care. The pie is so big and there's so many people not being helped that we couldn't get to all of you if our life depended on it. So we need the accounting industry to wake up. So we're going full tilt and we're saying the accounting industry has failed. The financial services industry has failed because the financial services industry is selling financial services products without trying to do what's right for their customers. The accounting industry doesn't like risk at all, so they're just I wouldn't do what John's recommended. I'll give you an example. The 14-day rental rule is my favorite because it's in the tax code. It's been in the tax code for decades. You can rent your house to yourself 14 days a year. If you Google the Augusta rule, you will find the data on it. You'll be able to find the tax code on it. And if you take that rule to most accountants, they'll say, "I'm not comfortable doing that." Well, if I rent my house for $1,000 times 14 days, that's $14,000 times 25%, which is the typical tax rate. You're talking $3,000 to $4,000 in tax savings just by filling out the form differently. All you need to do is have a single form in place and put the number in the right box on the tax return, and you save a client $3,000 to $4,000, and accountants are telling their clients they're not comfortable.
So
that's nuts.
Let me back you up here. So who are we renting this house to?
Yourself.
And this is what blows my mind about taxes is you don't know what you don't know because there's a million things out there and you're going, "John's a liar. There's no way that I'm Googling it," and you're going to see it because this is it's what there. He does. Like, it's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. Another one we spend a lot of time on is most of your businesses are starting in the living room. So most of the people listening are probably, even if they've built a robust business, they haven't gotten an office yet.
Right.
Well, most accountants will tell you that a home office is a red flag. Well, there are five different ways in the tax code to write off a home office. So my question is if it's a red flag to the IRS, why did they give us five separate ways of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
How could that possibly be a red flag? Not only are they saying that it's okay, they're giving us multiple different ways. An example I use is in Texas, our houses tend to be big. So when we do business use percentage, and that's what part of the code, business use percentage, we use rooms because a 3-bed, 2-bath house in Texas is different than a 3-bed, 2-bath condo in New York City. Mm-hmm. So in New York City, they're going to use square footage if they carve out a room. In Texas, we use rooms. Well, the tax code allows for that. I can get a higher percentage write-off of my house by using rooms than I do square footage. But in New York, you're going to get a higher. Well, the code allows for that. So the code is basically adapting to the fact that there's different parts of the country that will write off different things. But yet most accountants will say that's a red flag. It's not. It hasn't been a red flag. And I joke, since Al Gore invented the internet. So a lot of us can do a lot of stuff. I mean, we're talking, I mean, we have the wonder of technology. I mean, right. I can be in my underwear right now in my living room talking to you on Skype and you wouldn't know.
Right.
And that's the world we live in. So the tax code adapted to that.
So let's talk about write-offs and what this looks like and maybe some write-offs that we would not be thinking of. And we can even dive in deeper to the office as well, the home office.
Well, let's talk about, we'll pull back a little bit because most of your listeners are structured wrong.
Yes.
So think of the structure. So most people are LLCs. Mm-hmm. So this was the first question I had. Go to a tax attorney or an accountant and ask them why everybody's setting up an LLC. None of them will be able to tell you, which drove me nuts when I first started. Why is everyone doing LLCs? Why aren't they doing S-corps or sole proprietors? An LLC is a legal entity. It is not a taxable entity. You're going to be taxed as a sole proprietor, a partnership, an S-corp, a C-corp, or a disregarded entity. Those are the five taxable. So your LLC is one of those five. Most LLCs are set up with the default position of sole proprietor, which is the highest audited entity and the highest taxed entity. So the first thing you need to do is look to see if your business is being taxed on the Schedule C. So just open up your business tax return or your personal tax return and see if there's a Schedule C. If there's a Schedule C, you're a sole proprietor, and you're five times more likely to be audited than if you were an S Corp. Also, sole proprietors are taxed with a self-employment tax. We can eliminate that self-employment tax just by switching to an S Corp. So just that one thing completely changes the complexion of how you're taxed, and no one's teaching you this. The you go to the accountant, they say, well, everyone's setting up an LLC. Why? Well, because that's what everyone does. Well, here's the reason. You're going to love this. The reason that everyone sets up LLCs is because the form to set up an LLC has a box, and you can check which type of taxing entity you want to be. Whereas if I set up an S Corp, I'm choosing by the very nature of the corporation to be taxed as an S Corp. Mm-hmm. And it's harder, and all companies in the tax code are C Corps. You have to elect to do an S Corp. So an S Corp can become a C, but a C almost never becomes an S. So all that confusing stuff is solved by just setting up an LLC.
Yes.
No one's teaching you this. They're just saying, just do this. And then they set you up in the wrong one. So, and it creates all kinds of problems later, and you'll be blindsided with the problems on the tax code later. So,
right. Now, one thing I was just informed about. So with my brick and mortar, I have an S Corp. With my online business, I have an LLC. But this upcoming 2017 is looking very good for us. And I was advised you need to switch to an S Corp. So one thing I didn't know, though, is there is only a specific time frame to be able to switch. Is that true?
Correct. That is correct. So it's usually the beginning of the year. So now's a good time. If you know, we've had people come to us in December and say, can I switch for the year? No, you can't. Right. So you really want to do that now. Now, I would actually encourage you to give it a little bit of time, especially this year. If Trump does what he says he's going to do, and there's no guarantee that he can or will, then I think that the C Corp may become the new cool kid on the block.
Okay. Good to know.
Because right now, C Corps are major corporations. The C Corp in the United States of America is the highest tax entity in the world.
Got it.
We're number one. We have the highest tax rate for corporations in the world. That's not something you want to be number one at, but we are. So if Trump solves that, a lot of our clients, we will switch to an S corp. This is another thing that, or from an S to a C. This is another thing that accountants don't do, is that if you've got an S somewhere else and you have an LLC that's being taxed as a sole proprietor, we may want to make one a C and one an S. That way, during the next election, if a Democrats tend to be nicer to C corps and Republicans tend to be nicer to the S. This isn't a hard and fast rule, but that's a tendency. If you have both, then you really don't care.
Got it.
Because then we can just shift how the dollars flow. So that's one of the things that we'll do. Also, by doing a C corp, we can do all kinds of fringe benefits. Okay. We can write off all your medical expenses within the C corp. So if you have kids, we can show you how to save for college tax free, not in 529 plans, but you have to have a C corp. So we're still doing C corp.
So what I want to stop you for a minute and say is, I'm sure so many people are getting overwhelmed, but here's the thing. When you hire somebody that's an expert in this, you don't have to be overwhelmed, because they will walk you through it and they will be the ones asking the questions. That is where you can say, okay, I've got these people on my team, and that makes me, you know, overall more successful, because I've got these amazing A players who know what I don't know.
And that's we live in a society that is so complex. Regulations have made it more complex. The computers actually made it more complex. Because we have computers to do things faster, we made the world more complex because we could, which means you cannot be an expert at everything. You can't even be an expert at 10 things anymore. So you really have to find this one or two people that are experts. I'll give you an unbelievably simple example. I went to a friend's office earlier this morning, and I looked at his shoes, and I was like, gosh, I really like your shoes. Where'd you get your shoes? Well, I have a guy. This guy's got a shoe guy. And I'm like, well, you dress pretty well. He's, well, go to my guy. And he's got a guy that actually dresses him from head to toe. He's a custom clothing.
Yeah.
But he does this for the same. I didn't even know this was a business. so once he has your measurements, you just can call him up and say, I need a new pair of black shoes, and he'll ship them to you. Well, that kind of excited me. Who knew that existed? And I don't have time to shop. So all of a sudden now I don't have to dress myself anymore because I have an expert that will do it for me.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Absolutely. And I think there's a way to make money on anything that you're passionate about. Absolutely.
Absolutely right. So, and I mean, the guy that I was talking to is a credit card processor. Who knew that that was a thing? I thought banks did all that. I learned a lot of stuff that banks do that, but they're the most expensive. Right. So you could actually get credit card processing at half the cost of a bank. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Who knew? So there's an expert at everything. So you just need to find them. My opinion when I first started down this tax path was that someone's already figured this out. I was surprised to find that someone had not. Mm-hmm. Is everyone's afraid of the accounting industry. Right. CPAs, that's so much. There's 500,000 of them in this country, and they've got this really, and they're smart. I mean, it takes 2 days to take the daggone test. 2 days for a test. So these are smart people, but they're not trained to do the thing that we need help with, which is lower my taxes.
All right. Well, John, this has been phenomenal. Before we move on, I just want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audio book of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every single day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to check out their service. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/herempire. Again, that's audibletrial.com/herempire for your free trial today. All right, we are back with John Pollack. John, I am so blown away so far. I'm sure my audience is too, because there's things you're saying that we're going, is he serious? Does this really exist? So we have a few more minutes before we end for today, and I would love to just kind of dive in a little bit deeper. What are some things that we probably don't know about that we need to be thinking about while we're building our empires?
Well, just be aware that taxes are a real problem, and as you grow your business, so if you're doing over $100,000 in gross revenue, not net, gross, then you're probably going to need some help on the tax side. And keep in mind that as your business grows, so let's say you go from $100,000 in gross to $200,000 in gross. So let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket. So you say, okay, I have $100,000 in gross, but I got $75,000 in write-offs, so I got to pay 25% on the 25 that's left over. Therefore, I have $5,000 in taxes. But now I've added another $100,000. So that other $100,000 is taxed the same way? No, because you've already written off everything against the first $100,000. So the next $100,000 is increase without write-offs. So the first $100,000 may be taxed at $5,000, but the next $100,000 may be taxed at $25,000.
Wow. Okay.
So you see the problem here is that all of a sudden you've doubled your income, but your tax went up by 6 times. That's our tax system. It sucks. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't matter that it sucks. This is a system we have. So all I did is said, well, okay, if this is a system we have and I don't like it, I just need to learn the rules and be able to figure out a way to navigate the rules. Fortunately, we have 70,000 pages of rules, and the rules were written for you and me.
Right.
They're written for small business owners. So, but no one's using them. Mm-hmm. So you've got a whole bunch of rules that are there that nobody's using. So the first thing I would tell your listeners is understand that when, and you're going to get it, once you've had a little bit of success, you'll get creamed by taxes, you'll be mad, but understand that the next year you can fix it.
Yeah.
And it's typically, almost never do we get someone say, coming to us in October saying, hey, I've had a break, I had a breakout year, I need to do tax planning before the year ends. It's always April 15th, they have to write a $20,000 check, they hear me, and then they say, oh gosh, we got to fix this. So it should be the other way around, but it's not. Yeah. So just be aware that when you do get creamed by taxes, we can solve it. Not for the previous year.
Yeah, I had one year. I had one year that was awful. Like you said, I'd always been getting a refund, and all of a sudden, one year I owed $20,000 because I had not had that success before. And I was going, oh my goodness, I was not ready to pay $20,000 in taxes. But you're right. The next year we were able to fix it. And now we know the strategies and things we need to be doing. But it is scary when you're not ready for something like that.
And it will come.
Absolutely.
So if you have any success at all, and this is one of those, you know, the little, the dirty underbelly of the business world is no one tells you that your first breakout year is going to be a blessing and a curse.
Yes.
The blessing is wow, I had a great year. The curse is I got a $20,000 bill that I didn't budget for. And you know, you're so proud of being a good business owner and planning and anticipating. And then all of a sudden you're surrounded by all these professionals and no one told you. Well, we're telling you now, it's going to happen. The good news is that when it happens, you're going to know, okay, I've got to deal with this $20,000 bill, but going forward, I'm never going to be blindsided by this again. And typically businesses do tend to have breakout years.
Yeah, absolutely.
They tend to, it's the J curve, you know, a penny doubling is not that big of a deal, but eventually it's 1,000 to 10,000. And then the doubling effect it becomes more dramatic.
Right.
So just be aware that if you're in the grind, it's going to happen. And when it happens, we can't fix it retroactively, but we can prepare to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what about maybe things that we don't know we could be writing off? Are there like common ones that you usually tell people and they're shocked?
Well, I mean, the pool, you can write off your swimming pool. You can't write off the building of it, but you can write off the maintenance. You can write off a percentage of your trash bill, your utility bill. It all goes back to those business use percentage rules. Most people are saving for retirement wrong.
Okay.
We believe that because corporate America uses a 401k, then all of a sudden this new solo K came out for the small business owners.
Yeah.
Most corporations that have 50 or less employees should not have a 401k.
Mm.
The reason they do have a 401k is because it's the most profitable retirement plan for Fidelity and Vanguard to sell. So when you make several percentage points on a retirement plan called a 401k, you're going to sell it. The problem with financial services is a hammer looking for a nail. So everybody needs to own a 401k because if that's what I sell and that's what's the most profitable business for me, that's what I'm going to sell everybody. But I would say 95% of businesses shouldn't have a 401k. They should have something completely different.
Okay.
There's very, very rare incidents because if you follow the tax code will lead you down a path of really great opportunity. It's just no one's doing that.
Right.
So just understand it. And we have a free ebook that we'll give out at the end so that they can read about some of these.
Perfect.
Paying for college tax free, medical expenses. Everyone complains about Obamacare. What's interesting is that Obamacare is tax law. The Supreme Court said so, and it's tax law. Well, there's a 50-year-old tax law called the medical expense reimbursement plan, and there's two parts, Section 105 and Section 125, that allow you to offset medical expenses. So if you have young kids, every single time you go to a doctor and you pay that deductible, it can be a tax deduction. Glasses, tax deduction. Chiropractor, tax deduction. Massages, tax deduction. So the way we explain it to people is you have the dollars that you earn, then you have the toll you got to pay, taxes, and then you have the dollars post-toll. We want to spend as much dollars pre-toll. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that with every single medical expense that you have can be spent pre-tax. But most people have to set it up right. And it's in the code. It's 50 years old. It's actually 53 years old. So it's there. It's been there. They didn't take it out. So we're actually getting people to reduce their health insurance premiums by up to 50% by using this tax. So first they're complaining, and then we come in and we say, well, you're paying $10,000 a month. We can knock down your premiums to $5,000 a month and give your employees a better benefit package. Mm. So you'll not have the best benefit package in your area, but your premiums will be half as much. And so there's the tax, following the tax code leads to lower costs elsewhere as well.
Great. So I want to ask you this too, because I know this is an area you touch on. Let's talk about writing off your car, buying, leasing. Mm-hmm. I know this is a really like interesting topic that I think will surprise some people.
Yeah. So the Ramsey approach is pay cash for everything. Yes. This is why I disagree.
And it's hard like me who likes Dave Ramsey, but then knows there's things like this that I have to make sure I'm paying attention to.
Yeah. So here's the thing with Ramsey. Ramsey's target market, you're a business owner, so think target market. They're mostly blue collar or employees. Yeah. We're business owners. We're risk takers. So we understand that if we take a risk and we do something and it doesn't work, we could go bankrupt. That's part of the deal. Yeah. We understand that. So we're not in this defensive posture, which is Ramsey's entire model. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to cars, we don't pay cash because first of all, we're in higher tax brackets. Second of all, if we lease a car, it's a tax deduction. If we buy a car, remember that illustration, pre-tax versus post-tax? So if I make $10,000, I pay 25% taxes. Now I have $7,500 to pay cash for a car. I can buy a nicer car with the $10,000, but I have to lease it. But now I'm paying interest. Well, the interest on a lease is 2-4%.
Right.
So what's cheaper, 2-4% cost of money or 25% cost of money, which is the tax? So you could actually buy a nicer car with less money by buying it pre-tax. And the only way to do that, and it's the tax code, is a lease. Now, we do believe in Dave Ramsey in the fact that you got to manage your money. You don't buy a $65,000 car because it's a tax deduction.
Yes.
So you can lease a used car. Most people don't know that. You can lease a used car, so you can still buy something 2 or 3 years old at a lower price. You lease it, you get the tax deduction, and then when there's a residual, you can trade it in or you can go out and lease another car. So I lease a car every 3 to 4 years because my attitude is I want to drive a nice car. I can afford it. I'm not going to buy a car and then own it for 15 years. Right. I'm just going to buy a new car every 3 to 4 years, but I'm going to lease it. The business is going to get a tax deduction for it. So it's just a better way. You want efficiency of dollars when you're a business owner. And that's the key. How do I make the dollar pre-tax instead of post-tax? And leasing allows you to do that.
Got it. Great. Yeah. And that's something too. I'm so glad you brought up the Dave Ramsey thing because I'm a big fan. I know a lot of people are too, but there are some things that don't make sense for a business owner. You're 100% right.
Yeah. I mean, I went to the Entre Leadership. I'm a big fan. Okay. I mean, the Entre Leadership was a great, it's a week. And I sat next to Dennis and he says, he did the section on not using debt to grow your business. And then he uses some examples of how he bought his building without debt. But he did a lease to buy, and the guy that built the building borrowed.
Right.
So that's kind of cheating. and then he says you can build your business without debt. You just generate enough cash and then you use that to buy stuff. I was sitting next to a dentist and I leaned over and said, "So, can you build your business without debt?" And he looks at me and says, "Yeah, if I worked for someone else for 20 years, saved every dollar, then I could do it." But in that period of time, he could have, and he did, by the way, he's now got 3 offices. Mm. It's leverage. It's part of the game.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's risky. Yes, we can be wiped out. But as an entrepreneur, you honestly can't live any other way. I mean, it's a sickness.
It is. John, this has been so good. I'm so glad you were on the show. Please tell my listeners where they can find more about you. Just fill us in with anything. You mentioned an ebook. I'd love to hear that.
All right. So you can go to the website, financialgravity.com. Lower tax, higher profit. There's a video series. So lowertaxhigherprofit.com. The ebook is you text textbook, one word, textbook to 33444. You type in the number, you type in textbook, and then you'll get a response back. You just type in your email address and you'll get the book.
Perfect.
So, and it has 10 different myths that business owners think about tax planning. And it talks about some of the stuff that we covered today. And we'll even expand on some other stuff.
Great. Thank you so much for being here today and for taking time out of your day to come and teach us. This was so valuable. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock-solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.